Father, I truly do thank you that you are. I thank you, Father, that you're with each and every one of us, each and every second of each and every day. I thank you, Father God, that you know us inside out, and still you love us, still you show us grace and mercy, long-suffering. And Father God, we give you all the praise, honor, and glory tonight, just because you are. And Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, your Holy Spirit, your angelic host. And Father, move among us tonight. Whatever the need is, Father God, I'm asking you to minister to your people. They love you. They have faith, Father God, that you can do all things. And I am asking you to show yourself mightily tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. I'm going to be teaching on a time to forgive tonight. I want you to listen closely. Don't lose me, all right? This forgiveness is very important. And this is really a book that a young man wrote, and it's Apostle Lee Roberson. And then Aaron informed me that he's the one that wrote the book on the blood that I've been passing out. Matthew 6:14-15, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You're going to hear the same scriptures over and over again. God wants to get you to get them embedded in your spirit, man. Matthew 5:23, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your Father, and then come and offer your gift. There's some of you sitting in here tonight that you know that you have a problem, and you should be going to that person and asking forgiveness before you expect God to do anything for you. I want you to think about this. Now, this is this gentleman's book. I just typed it up. All right, so I just left him talk the way he talks. And I did change a few things so you understand it better, but let's go. When God began to minister to me, I was in India. It was October 26, 2017. My second day in India, at approximately 2 a.m., I had this incredible visitation from a very powerful angel, and God began to teach me various things about unforgiveness. I know many of us have heard about unforgiveness. We've taught about it many times. I've taught on it many times, but I've never encountered such a powerful experience before that changed my life in this way. The first thing you need to understand is that when mankind was born, his original birthplace was what? Love. So when we were born from love and into love. Whenever you walk in unforgiveness, you move yourself from your original birthplace. Secondly, whenever we walk in unforgiveness, the love that we perceive that we are giving to people is tainted. Remember, God's a definite prophetic word that we read this morning. That love is not pure because you have an ought against another brother or sibling. Secondly, whenever we walk in unforgiveness, the love that we perceive that we are giving to people is tainted. That love is not pure because you have an ought against another brother or sibling. Jesus put it this way in Luke 6:32. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. So it's easy to love people who love you, but what about those that have hurt you or offended you, the ones that have done you wrong? I was in India. It was in the morning of the third day, and my room was filled with the presence of the Lord. It was 2:00 in the morning, and I was taken into an open vision. I began to see myself walking down this road, and as I was walking down this road, I took note of the surroundings. It seemed like an evening day. It was not quite dark, but approaching night. It was a clear day with evening air. After walking for a short time, I noticed to my left there was a building. It was a small building, a very nice shaped building, but immediately knew in the open vision as I was walking that this building was a bathroom. I walked off the road towards the building, and as I began to walk into the door, I noticed a man standing to my left. He was of great size and great stature. I didn't have any thought about it. I just noticed him, and then I went into the bathroom. When I went into the bathroom, I immediately noticed that there was a man in a wheelchair, and I couldn't help but think to myself, how is this man going to get out of the wheelchair and use the bathroom? As soon as I thought that, the man that was outside came into the bathroom. I knew at that point that was not a man, but it was an angel. Keep in mind, this is a one-stall bathroom. It was just me and the man in the wheelchair. When the angel came inside the bathroom, he turned to me and smiled. And when he smiled, me and the man in the wheelchair were outside of the bathroom. But the man was no longer in the wheelchair. He was standing on his feet. Just with a smile, that man was healed. If you've ever been in an open vision, you know that you don't talk through your mouth. It's just thought. So I knew immediately who this angel was, or at least I thought I knew who he was. The man that was in the wheelchair turned to me as if to ask me who he was. So I turned to the man and said to him, oh, that's the angel of unforgiveness. The angel turned to me and said to me, no, my name is Antibacteria Unforgiveness Angel. And when he said that, the thought began to develop in my mind. I've never heard of you before. So I immediately began to challenge what he said. As soon as I began to challenge him, he challenged me back with Hebrews 12:22, which says, but you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. And I immediately knew that we have angels that we have never even met before. I thought that was sort of interesting. When I said that, the angel turned to me with this huge, massive white gun. But it was not a gun like you and I are familiar with. This gun did not fire bullets. This was an instrument I've never seen before on planet Earth. This was something that only heaven could manifest. With a look of joy upon his face, he turned to me with this massive gun and immediately started shooting inside of my body cells. Yes, cells. They were incredible cells, cells of all colors. I'm sure that most of you have seen pictures of cells that are inside of our bodies. As these cells left this massive machine, I took note that they were perfect in shape and alive, and the colors that were on each one was alive. Yes, you heard me correctly. The cells are full of life. And Brett, God's telling me to tell you that he's going to give you such visions, and you also write it down in books, and many, many people will be healed and delivered and set free. He goes on to say, and the colors that were on them were full of life, period. I watched each cell and its color. There were colors I had never seen before, and when they hit my body began to respond immediately. My body began to be refreshed. There was energy coming into my body. My body began to swell with a strength that had been absent for a while. And I got this feeling that they were replacing cells that had been destroyed. And immediately, an angel can come in here right now with his little massive gun of cells, and he can start shooting all of us, right? And restore. We know we have dead cells, don't we? All right. And immediately I had strength in my body. Folks, I can tell you the cells that you see on pictures are not even close to the virtual cells that go into your body. They're not even close. The colors, the perfect shape, and each cell has a life of God inside of it. Now, love or unforgiveness in your cells. About 3 o'clock in the morning, I called my wife, who's in America, and I began to tell her about the experience that I had. Now, I want you to hold on to this because this is very powerful. God began to teach me some powerful things about the body of Christ. When I called my wife, she began to rejoice, and she said to me, I have to share something with you. I said, what is it? She said, I just had a dream. Now, keep in mind, I'm in India. She's in America. She said, in the dream, she was laying in the bed, and she turned to where I usually sleep. There was a man in the bed, and he was dead. Are you hearing what I'm saying? She said the man in the bed was dead. She said in the dream, she screamed out. She called me and said, Chris, come get this dead man out of the bed. She said that she got up and went around and touched the dead man's feet. And when she told me all this, she asked me, what does this mean? I told her that I didn't know. Then I said, let me call you right back, because I could still feel the presence of God and the room was still charged. Please pay attention, because we're going to get into some things you really need to understand while you walk in unforgiveness. As soon as I hung up with my wife, I went right back into the vision, and the angel began to teach me more stuff about the cells, about unforgiveness. He said, study my name. Now, remember what the angel said his name was. He said his name was Antibacteria Unforgiveness Angel. As I began to study the angel's name, my wife's dream was occupying my mind. So I did a search, found a piece that stated, when you forgive, you move from spiritual death to fruitfulness. When you forgive, you move from spiritual death to fruitfulness. I knew the answer, and I said to myself, the man that was in the bed was me. I emailed my wife the information I had found. My wife replied to my email saying, yay, I didn't want to tell you, but the man that was in the bed was the same size as you. After the revelation given by the Antibacteria Unforgiveness Angel, I knew that I had not forgiven my wife. So I called her back immediately, but there was something different now. I could feel it deep down in my inner strength. Cleanliness that was not there prior to the angel releasing those cells into my body. I said to my wife, I forgive you, and we both rejoiced. I noticed how much easier it was to forgive now that I had been impacted by the angel. I also noticed how pure and clean and so full of love the forgiveness was. You see, after the angel fired those new cells into my body, it became easier to forgive, and it felt so very natural to do so. We need this angel in here tonight. After I finished speaking to my wife, God began to speak to me and said these words, there are a lot of dead men in my body. There are a lot of dead women in my body because they're walking in unforgiveness. They do not understand. The church does not understand the power of unforgiveness. See, prior to me going to India to minister, my wife and I got into this heated and very ugly fight that caused both of us to say very, very harsh words to one another. These words penetrated my heart, and I never forgave my wife. So in the sight of God, I got a blank piece of paper. I was a dead man because I failed to forgive. See that? Remember the story about the minister overseas? He was a pastor, very good pastor, lived a holy life. But his wife slapped him in the face before he left that day. And she said, oh, please, please forgive me. And he wouldn't forgive her. Remember that? And he went out and got in his car and had an accident and died and went to hell. And Jesus brought him up from hell. And he said, how come I went to hell? He said, because you did not forgive your wife. You need to remember them. He said he was a dead man because I failed to forgive. Folks, when you walk in unforgiveness, you're spiritually dead to God. I began to do research, and the angel began to walk me through his name. His name was Antibacteria Unforgiveness Angel. Anti means to be against or opposed. Now, when he said bacteria, he called it unforgiveness bacteria. I did more research, and I found out that a bacteria is a living organism. I also found out that one of the first things that they discovered in man's body was bacteria. Now, this is going to blow your mind. A bacteria kills cells two different ways. Now, every time I say bacteria, I want you to equate it to unforgiveness, because that's what he called unforgiveness, was bacteria. Scientists and doctors have proven that unforgiveness is responsible for high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, depression, and even arthritis. The angel began to walk me through this, and he showed me where unforgiveness has been destroying cells in our bodies that were put in our bodies to help us to forgive. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The number one question I ask most people when I teach on forgiveness is, how many have trouble forgiving? Throw your hands up, girls. Amen. How many want to forgive and don't know how to forgive? And many hands go in the air. It is because these unforgiveness bacteria have killed the cells that help you to forgive. God spoke to me and said, it is unnatural for you to walk in unforgiveness. And God said that in that prophetic word. Get rid of the bacteria in your soul. I began to do more research of bacteria. Remember, bacteria kill cells two different ways. The main way that bacteria kills cells is that it infiltrates the cells. It goes inside the cell and it eats the cell until it dies. That's the number one way that bacteria kills cells. The second way that bacteria kills cells, it releases toxins and poisons that kill cells. So think on this. What does unforgiveness carry that is toxic and poisonous? Bitterness, resentment, revenge, and rage. Another thing that is fascinating about a bacteria is that it has a membrane, an outer wall or shell. That means that bacteria can lay dormant inside of you. Remember, when I say bacteria, think unforgiveness. So unforgiveness can lay dormant inside of you. Here's the most powerful thing about the outside wall of the bacteria. It protects the bacteria against extreme conditions. That's powerful. Well, he said that's powerful. That means that unforgiveness protects itself against extreme conditions. Are you following me so far? I had to read 10 times where I could follow myself, all right? That means that unforgiveness protects itself against extreme conditions. So what would be extreme conditions against unforgiveness? You're walking, now listen to this, you guys, because I know some of you do this. You're walking in unforgiveness and somebody shows up and tries to love you, tries to show you kindness, tries to help you and be there for you. That's extreme conditions to unforgiveness. Some of you are walking it, you know you are. The bacteria quickly goes into a protective mode to keep you bitter, hostile, and short with people who are there to simply love you. So the outer shell of the bacteria, which is unforgiveness, fights against the love and kindness and keeps it from entering into your body so you won't be able to forgive. The second thing about the bacteria is the most powerful thing of all. It can feed itself. So after it has destroyed a cell, bacteria can actually lie dormant and feed itself. The angel was teaching me that unforgiveness feeds itself and it keeps itself alive inside of us so we don't forgive. So how does it feed itself? It keeps bitterness coming inside of us. Grudge is feeding it. Protecting yourself, not mingling, not allowing touching, not allowing conversation to deal with what happened. Some of you are carrying this. So how does it feed itself? It keeps bitterness coming inside of us. Grudge is feeding it. Protecting yourself, you protect yourself. Not mingling, you don't like to mingle with people. Not allowing any touching, don't you touch me. Not allowing conversation to deal with what happened. Is this helping anybody in here tonight so far? It's helped me, so... Unforgiveness is lying dormant in you and protecting itself and keeping you in unforgiveness. It knows that if it can keep you in unforgiveness, it moves you from your original birthplace, which is love. Now remember, an angel's teaching this to this man, releasing others. Then God began to show me something powerful. Watch this. The first thing I would do is I would challenge you to see if you understand that I really forgave you. I said, what do you mean? He said, go to Matthew 18:27. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. Now, God said, the first thing that I do is once I forgive you, I now ask you to release somebody who owes you. All right? The reason he told me he does that is to see if you really understand the value of forgiveness. If you know the rest of the story, this man who was forgiven, then he went out and he put somebody in jail that owed him, right? I will challenge your level of forgiveness. This is God speaking. I will always bring someone back to you who did the wrong, and I'm going to see how you treat them. I didn't make this screen, but this is God speaking. I have forgiven you. Now it is time for you to forgive them. He does that to see if the bacteria was destroyed in you, which is unforgiveness. Now you have an opportunity to forgive, but you don't forgive. Therefore, unforgiveness goes back into a dormant state inside of us. Now, here's the most powerful thing about a bacteria. It has a membrane and an outer wall. Why is that important? The membrane does 3 powerful things. Number one, it separates the bacteria from the other cells. Number two, it controls what goes in and out of the bacteria. Number three, it protects the bacteria. He said, are you hearing what God is saying? He is saying that the membrane of the bacteria separates itself from the other cells because the other cells help you to forgive. So unforgiveness keeps itself away from the other cells that will help you to forgive people. Then it goes into protective mode and keeps it from receiving true love, true kindness, so that bitterness and harshness and grudges remain inside of you. Some of you are like this. I'm going to keep saying that. Amen. So unforgiveness keeps itself away from the other cells that will help you to forgive people. Then it goes into protective mode and keeps it from receiving true love, true kindness, so that bitterness and harshness and grudges remain inside of you. God said to me that most people that are walking in unforgiveness will act as if they have forgiven, and they make statements like this, oh, I forgave them. How many of you heard people say that? But God said to me, true forgiveness means that you have granted the person that hurt you access back into your life. I'm going to say that again. True forgiveness means that the person that hurt you has free access back into your life. I didn't say that they could do the same thing to you, but they should be able to have free access back into your life, because God said, if I forgave you, did you not have free access back into me? So if you find yourself protecting yourself against that person, you have not forgiven. Oh, my goodness. You're not ignorant no longer, so God's going to judge you for what you just learned. You can't say when you come in here, I didn't know. Amen. Then he said, unforgiveness infects the love that you release to everyone else. You think you're loving people, but in reality, you were loving them to keep you away from the other party that hurt you. See, that's your way of staying away from or not dealing with it. Now, here's a danger of that. That gives unforgiveness permission to lay dormant in you, and the longer it lays dormant in you, the deeper you are. The deader you are. And the apostle says, I was dead. I was dead. The apostle was dead. And this is this gentleman speaking. And before the angel came and shot cells back into my body, I was preaching, teaching, flowing into gifts, but dead. Some of you need to be running to the altar. You can't go off of your teaching, you can't go off of your gifts, and you can't go off of your talents, because they are given to you without repentance. If you, this is why I'm very careful of people, you're watchful of them, because I read where once God gives you gifts, he never takes it back, and you can go into the deepest sin and still have that gift in operation. And I never want to be one of those. I don't want to be in sin and be prophesying, because God gave you that gift and he's not going to take it back from you, but he's not pleased with what you're doing. Are you understanding this? But if you do not forgive, your Father will not forgive you, and you are spiritually dead. You can do all these great things, but if you don't walk in unforgiveness, if you walk in unforgiveness, then you're spiritually dead to God. That's where it comes in, you know, whenever God said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, because I don't know you. When you say, why prophesy or raise the dead or whatever. You can do all those things. And if you're not walking in the love walk, then you didn't do anything. This is why you can't get enough. This is why when you try to collect, well, okay, so I said, but if you do not forgive, your Father will not forgive you, and you are spiritually dead. Then he said, this is why you can't get enough, you know, because you're spiritually dead, so you're not really prospering, is what he's saying here. This is why when you try to collect, you don't collect enough. In other words, take enough offerings. This is why you try to flow, but you don't flow enough, because there's some unforgiveness. There are some grudges. I've seen people in here who I know are anointed, but they cannot flow in the Spirit. I watched that a lot in here. It's because you have unforgiveness in your heart. You're holding grudges, bitterness, or whatever, and you cannot flow in the Holy Spirit when you do those things. Believe me, I know, because I come from a family that holds grudges. But I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, if you will receive when I pray, and, you know, he was going to pray over the people. Well, he prays in the book, all right? And I gave you the prayer. Did everybody get the sheet of prayer? If you didn't, if you raise your hand, somebody will get you one. But I'm telling you, by the Spirit of the living God, if you will receive when I pray, this angel is going to begin to minister to you. And he's going to begin to restore cells back into your body that have been destroyed by this bacteria called unforgiveness. If you will receive today, you will release that man or that woman that hurt you years ago, or maybe this morning. You will release that one that molested you many years ago. You will release the one that left you. You will release the one that abandoned you. She's passing it out, Aaron. You will begin to release them, and the angel will begin to restore cells back into your body. You're just going to have to get out of unforgiveness. Dear Lord, how can you stand? How can you stand yourself? Have you been around somebody that's in unforgiveness? My Lord, I just do not be in the same room with them. Their spirit that comes off of them is terrible. You know, the atmosphere, whatever you want to call it. You need to understand God created us a cellular structure. You guys know this. I don't. I'm just reading it, all right? Our whole body is a big cellular structure. So that means that when God designed us, he designed us to walk in incredible love. Now, that means that there were cells that gave us energy and helped to forgive. But what unforgiveness does is it destroys those cells. They eat them. So that's why you don't have the energy. That's why it's easy for you to say, I'll never forgive them. I don't care what they do. I'll never let them go. I'll never forgive them. Why? Because the cells that were giving you energy to forgive have been eaten up by unforgiveness. Then God told me this. He said, son, I want you to pay attention. How you love is a direct reflection of how you love yourself. How many times have I taught you that? If you can't love yourself, you can't love anybody else. I said, what do you mean? And he said, the way you love everyone else is a direct reflection of how you love yourself. So then, if you walk in unforgiveness, it's a proof that you really don't love you. And that is the truth. You're mad at you for letting yourself get in that predicament. Yeah, I live this stuff so I can preach it, all right? You're mad at yourself for letting, you're mad at you for letting yourself get into that predicament. You're really mad at you for allowing yourself to be taken advantage of. If you can't love them, it's the proof that you don't really love yourself. I've told you before, you have to learn to love yourself before you can love anything or anybody. This is why Jesus said, love your neighbors as you love yourself. I don't want, if I'm your neighbor, I don't want you to love me like you love yourself. Amen. You're poison. And he said, that's powerful. So that means, well, you are my neighbor right in here. We're neighbors, right? We're sitting right next to each other and we're neighbors. This is why Jesus said, love your neighbors as you love yourself. That's powerful. So that means if you have a love problem, you have an unforgiveness problem. It is not the other person. It's really you. Forgiveness allows us to return to our first state in the original birthplace, which is what? Love. Each time you forgive is an act of love and the revealing of the Father's heart. This is why the adversary desires for us to remain in unforgiveness. He knows that it robs us of this powerful revelation of walking in agape love. This brings us to the most important law of them all, the law of love. How many of you, you can even say today maybe that you're mad at yourself because you allowed somebody to take advantage of you, you know? But don't get into unforgiveness. Unforgiveness was so strong on planet Earth, and in many ways it had become like a law, meaning many of us felt we had a right not to forgive people, that we had a right to hold bitterness in our hearts. Based upon how we were treated by the other party and depending on the advice we received from people who were not walking in godly counsel or godly love, which is agape love, we let unforgiveness remain dormant in our heart. You know, I wish people would just shut up and quit giving advice. Because most people aren't given the advice that God would give. Just, you just need to let God lead, guide, and direct you in every area of your life. Quit going to people and asking what you should do. Go to God. And if somebody thinks that they need to give you instructions about something, well, make sure you're praying the whole time they're giving them to you. Make sure they're being led by the Spirit of God. So to replace or destroy a law, a greater one must be created. So this is where Jesus, our Lord, comes in. He is not going to become love. He is love. And we shouldn't be coming love. We should be love by now. When Mary conceived Jesus, she conceived love. When she birthed Jesus in the earth, the law of love was born and is now active in the earth. The law of love. The law of love is this. If Jesus had never died, then the law of love could not be established in the earth. This is why Jesus, before his departure, gathered his disciples for a very important message that he delivered. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Do you ever wonder why you can't get your fellow worker to come in the church? They don't see no love in you. They don't see anything in you that they need or desire. And so they already have what they want. And if you're out there not walking in love, you're not going to bring them into the house of God. Jesus' word to his disciples and to us is that we are recognized by the depth of our love for each other. When I was young, I lived in the country, and I'd walk to church every Sunday. And as I went along, the kids were out in the yard playing. So I said, come go to church with me. We was in a little Baptist country church, you know. And finally, the pastor came to me and said, Barbara, please don't bring any more kids because we don't have no place to put them. I would just go into the whole bunch of kids. Yeah, well, I was young, my age, you know. And I just thought they had to know Jesus. I just thought they had to be happy being poor. Because I was poor, but I was happy didn't have any cares in the world, even though I didn't have food to eat. You know, when you're into Jesus and you know Jesus loves you, you love him, nothing else matters to you. I've lost my place. Jesus' words to his disciples and to us is that we are recognized by the depth of our love for each other. The one thing that stops the love that Jesus gave us back is a spirit called unforgiveness. But we have one greater. Let us abide in this incredible law of love so that when we are wronged, hear that, hurt badly, betrayed, abused, and mistreated, we will still be full of agape love. And this will allow us to forgive on demand. Somebody could do something to really upset you right before you walk through the doors. And that's what, when you have to love, you have to forgive on demand. Get yourself together before you get in there. Don't take your junk in there. Because Jesus doesn't need it, right? Can you imagine being able to forgive on demand? Some of you can. Some of you say, no, I cannot. I don't know about you, but I think this would be an incredible achievement. It is a reachable goal because of our Lord Jesus' obedience to death. It is a reachable goal. Now we have no excuse. We have his spirit, we have his words, and we have his nature. Do you really? We have his spirit, you have his spirit, all right? We have his words hidden in your heart. Do you really? And we have his nature. Do you really? And now they are at work in you. And then the young man wrote, it is time to forgive. I think we need to learn to forget too, don't you? Do you not understand that the reason why you, one of the reasons too is you can't forgive is because, yeah, I mean, okay, let me put it this way. People come against you to make you upset so you get out of your love walk because Satan is working through them and he's trying to get you away from God. And if he can keep you in unforgiveness, he has you and, you know, you're done. You know, one time when Teresa was young, you know, she was a mess, and I was going to church, and the pastor told me, he said, you need to kick her out of your house. And I said, she has no place to go. He said, doesn't matter. Kick her out of your house. I went home, and I went into the prayer closet, and I was crying. I said, God, I can't kick her out. She has no place to go. He says, I didn't tell you to kick her out. That pastor did. He said, if you kick her out, the world will love her, and it will destroy her. If you keep her here, I'll put a love in you. He didn't have to do that, but he gives you a deeper love than your natural love. We'll put a love in you for her, and I'll bring her out of the mess that she's in. It's hard for me to see a homeless person because they don't really want to be there. Now, some say they do. But I'm talking about the ones that don't. And what they really need, they don't need you to tell them they need to get a job. They need to know about the love of Jesus. One of my daughters, every time she sees a homeless person, she'll yell, get a job. You know. And I've tried to get her to quit doing that, but she won't quit doing that. And it's not Teresa. But anyhow, you know, they need the love of Christ. They need grace and they need mercy and long-suffering, just like God gives to us. But we can't do that because we have unforgiveness within inside of us. And, you know, until you get rid of unforgiveness, you are a dead man to God. I don't care what God has said to you. If you don't get this unforgiveness taken care of, you'll never go there. He can't use you. I mean, I don't like to toot my own horn, but, you know, Jesus talked about himself. The disciples talked to herself. I am a person that has every reason in the world not to love and not to forgive if I was walking in my flesh. But because of what Jesus did for me, just the cross, well, he just loved me. That's all I cared about. You know, my grandmother carried me to church ever since I was 2 months old. And I always, she always told me about how much Jesus loved me. And so that was embedded in me, you know, and it never left me. And it doesn't matter if everybody says you're unlovable or I can't love you. Nobody's ever going to love you. You have the calm assurance that Jesus loves you, and you don't need flesh to touch you. You just need to know that you're in the arms of Jesus. I get so upset at you people. I got to get a husband. I got to get a wife. You need to get Jesus. You get a husband, get a wife, and you'll be looking for another husband or another wife. Because until you get fall deeply and totally and completely in love with Jesus, and he's the first place in your heart, you won't make it in a marriage. The world's proven it. The church has proven it. So why don't we get out of that mode and let's get into the mode that Jesus wants us in, and that's unforgiveness. I mean, to forgive. Get out of unforgiveness and get into forgiveness. And once you get that unforgiveness taken care of, then you can walk in agape love. You know what agape love does? It loves everybody and everything. They might make you upset. You might stomp your feet and yell, but the bottom line is you'll love them. You'll forgive them. And you'll just go on like nothing ever happened. How many of you can do that in here tonight? If you're called to teach the word, you better be able to do that. Because God won't use you if you can't. The altar is open for those of you who know that, and I passed out that letter for you to go home and pray and release those people that you're holding unforgiveness to. Do you know how many pastors sit in the pulpit and they have unforgiveness in their heart? Do you know how many evangelists are out there that have unforgiveness in their heart? God's not going to bless them. And I hope that you care enough about yourself. You respect yourself enough that you're sick and tired of the enemy dragging you down into that pigsty. My father always told me, he said, Barbie, he said, integrity. You always have to have integrity. And I always went when, you know, once I had, well, all my life, but once I had my girls, I made sure I never did anything that would bring them shame. I wanted to be able to, them to walk down the sidewalk in town with me and people say, she's a good person. That wasn't pride. I wanted my kids to be proud of their mother. And I kept myself clean and pure so that I could tell people that Jesus is real. What are you doing with your life? What if you have kids one day? Will they be able to look up to you and say, you're so good? They'll look up to you and say, oh, you think you're so perfect. That's what they'll say. But who cares? We all know we're not perfect. The altar's open.